universe when it comes with that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of How to Do Drugs. I told you guys I was going to record more, so you're fucking welcome. Today, I'm very excited because all the way from Chicago, I fucking forgot. Tina Yocana, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I literally just had a brain fart. I'm like, no, I remember how to say your name. And then I instantly forget it. I've been practicing it all day, by the way. I love that. I love that for me. That's who I am as a person. So we met in Chicago like 2 years ago.
I think about, yeah, a Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you did a set there and then we just started talking because you told me you're from New York. And I was like, oh, I go there sometime.
Yeah.
And we're networking and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
In Chicago recently?
Not since then. Oh, so it's been about 2 years. Yeah, I love the Chicago Laugh Factory.
Welcome by, because it's been getting even better. So
yeah, which is hard to say because it is a perfect club. Like the Stand has always been my home club and stuff like that, but Chicago is the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, and Curtis has nothing but good things to say about you.
I adore that man. Give him a big smackaroos on the cheek for me.
Oh, I will. Might as well do a little self-promotion right away. I started this show at Reggie's Rock Club called Ha Ha to Hell, and it's like an all-dark comedy show.
Oh, I've seen the flyer.
So, yeah, if you come by, I'll definitely put you up. You're perfect for that.
Awesome. I think the last time I actually saw you was in New York, and it was for one of my hardcore shows that ended up being canceled.
I know. I was so disappointed, but it's okay.
I think that was right around the time, like, one of my friends had passed away, and, like, he just gave me a date, like, a week in advance. Like, it was a clusterfuck, basically. But, none of the shows did well. Which makes me always feel better, you know, when especially when you have a show at a club,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, and it's so easy to sell out the room upstairs at the Stand. You know, they have the showroom downstairs, which is around 130, which could be a little bit more intimidating to fill out. But the upstairs room, that's only like 45, 50 people. And so when you can't even like get enough to have a show, you're like, oh, my God, I'm the worst producer ever. But then when the club, you know, the shows downstairs also aren't sold out, then I'm like, okay, so I don't feel too.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, it's not my fault. Are you still like producing that show from afar? Or?
I mean, it's taken breaks. It was the first show that I ever created, you know, when I first started doing comedy. So right now, I don't know if I want to have a venue here, you know, like produce it here, or maybe, you know, when I start going back and forth from New York, just have it there.
Yeah.
You know, just keep it there. But I've traveled with it. It's been in Ohio. It's been in Vegas.
Oh, fine. That's awesome.
And stuff like that. So, I have, as I was telling you before we started, taken a little mental health break from comedy.
You got to.
No, it is very important in that, like, hustle culture, especially in Chicago as well, but New York specifically. Just like, oh, we have to do this many mics, we have to do all this stuff, and then just,
yeah, you do mics every night, you do shows, even if you get booked on a show every night, great, good for you, but now you have no experience in life to actually write jokes about.
Like,
your whole set's gonna be, how's everyone doing, you, celebrating anything? Anybody here on the apps?
No, you progressively get less funny because it's stressful. Like, it is, it can be a very stressful job.
Yeah.
And you do, a lot of people always feel like they're in competition. I'm like, why? I'm like, the only person you need to compete against is yourself.
Literally.
Yeah.
Well, the same page on that. Like,
when it comes with that. I'm glad that now, you know, because I've been doing it like 8, maybe 9 years or whatever, I'm more established. But yeah, like, I'll still do open mics, like, if I need to work out shit. But not like, I'm funny. So I'm not like, I have that confidence where, like, you know, these jokes work. For me, it's just remembering the joke.
Yeah.
And
that's when the drugs come in, because that's what holds me back.
Sometimes,
For a while, when I first started in comedy, it was so hard for me to remember my jokes. I could have, like, a really good bit I would just write that morning, And then I'd be like, I can't remember this shit, you know, and I don't know if it was because of like me like smoking weed all the time or just drinking or what, but like, or maybe even just nerves, because now it's like, what was it? The other day I was working on, I'm like headlining a show tomorrow here. That's nice. Part of the reason I'm here. And I added a new part of one of my longer bits, mm-hmm. and like could memorize it like immediately, and like tried it out at the show I was on last night. It worked, you know, and I was like, okay, cool. But like, so I think it might have to do with confidence too, you know, because now I'm so confident, like I'm really good at riffing now.
Yeah, you're more comfortable on stage. Yeah.
Especially when like there's certain shows you just get on where you're like, you watch a couple comics before you, and like you just see how the room is and how comfortable and how fun they're having. And you're like, okay, I could almost like read a grocery list in the laugh, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and you can if you're confident enough, you know? They can smell it.
Yeah, no, they do. They smell fear. Yeah, absolutely. But even if they're not afraid, sometimes, you know, certain, like they're just not into you. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, they are just not your fan. And I have become so comfortable where I will dig in deeper and harder. I'm like, oh, abortion jokes make you uncomfortable. Let's talk about gonorrhea. You know, I'm like, you guys already hate me, so let's just dig into this a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
And that, because like, I like the groans. I like the, you know, the oh my gods and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, I like those more than laugh.
Oh, I'm saying. I have this one bit I've been doing where in the beginning it starts off super like light and funny, and I get a huge laugh right in one of the first tags always. And then it just takes a turn. It's such a misdirect where it's so dark at one point, mm-hmm. where like literally even when they love the joke, like, sometimes I'll get a big laugh. That's when they really love it. Or it's a big, like, oh,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But then it's usually a laugh after, you know? But I love that. And mm-hmm. then whenever they do the ah, and then I just, like, I make fun of them. I go, oh,
yeah.
And then they usually, like, laugh even harder then. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, yeah. This is what I'm going for.
And, like, that's what gives me the dopamine.
Yeah. Because not every comedian needs to have a stand. Not every joke needs to have a point. But
yeah.
Some jokes, like that one specifically, it's like I'm kind of making a point, and oh, I'm good, thank you.
Okay.
And with that one, I'm like, yeah, as long as I get a reaction at all, that's all I care about, because
yeah.
This joke is trying to make a point specifically.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that, or it's just so dark. I've had audiences, you know, specifically when I talk about like porn and being in porn, it's not that they're not interested. They just don't know how to react.
Yeah, sometimes people are afraid to laugh.
Oh, you know? No, because they're looking, and a lot of times when I even mention, I'm like, okay, one, that joke was hilarious. I'm like, either you guys are trying to figure out if you've seen me naked, and according to X videos, over 100 million people have. So yeah, you probably have. So you could get out of your head with that. Yeah. I literally have to like coach them and be like, it's okay to laugh at these. Sometimes they will. Other times they'll get really uncomfortable. I'm like, all right, now we're just going to talk about fucking anal. Like,
so for me, I joke a lot about race, and
yeah.
None of my jokes are racist.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But a lot of times crowd, especially white people,
they get so
tight because they're like, do I laugh at this? And it's like, I understand maybe when I'm making a joke about somebody else, but like when I'm making jokes about me specifically being Middle Eastern, it's like, I'm making this joke. I want you to laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I'm the Middle Eastern person in this joke.
Exactly. Like, please laugh when I ululate. Like, you know?
Why not? I actually have a new bit about, like, moving down here, you know, to Texas compared to New York, where in New York, I was kind of minority, especially in the comedy scene. And it basically just goes, I'm like, listen, you guys, you feel like you can't laugh at this. And that's only because you don't know enough black
people. Yeah.
If you had more black people, if you had more diverse friends, this would be fucking hilarious to you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, go ship some, you know, and then I'm like, that kind of, and then I'll give
ship
them.
Wait.
Sorry. Yeah. And so I say that, and then I'm like, because the one, two black people that are always in some room like that, I'm like, they're laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
They think it's fucking hilarious, and you are too nervous. So either you guys are racist, or you just need more black friends.
Exactly.
And that has seemed to have worked really well, and kind of like ease people, you know, to be a little bit more comfortable with laughing about it. I'm like, you can just...
Exactly.
Okay, and a lot of my jokes revolving around race, like, I'll ask my black friend.
Yeah, like, is this okay?
Yeah, I'm like, is this too dark? Because I have, like, I have one joke that I use specifically during Black History Month where I talk about my pussy being, you know, comparable to the Underground Railroad. And I'm like, is that pushing it too far? He's like, one of my buddies, he's like, do you think it's pushing it too far? And I'm like, I think it's funny, but I could see someone probably getting upset about it. He's like, if you deliver it the way you just said it, it'll be fine. But it is. Yeah. A lot of it is about delivery.
Exactly. Like, I just added, like, a part of my bit where I talk, I mentioned, like, something about Palestine where I'm like, oh, I'm sick of this fake social justice warriors posting free Palestine all day. Mm-hmm. But then they get scared when they see the Arabs hitting on them in the gas station. Like, I will give those Habibis, or I will show those Habibis the world on this magic carpet, you know? And just like, yeah, and it's like, I had asked two of my, and like, I am Middle Eastern, but I'm Assyrian, so it's like not the same thing. So I asked like two of my Palestinian friends, like, is this too far?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, that's funny. Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, you're literally not talking bad about Palestinians at all. Like, if anything, you're making fun of the white people that, yeah, they'll post the fucking watermelon emoji mm-hmm. all day, but then in reality, they would probably...
Wait, they clutch their purse in an elevator when they see...
someone going, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Or if they're at the airport and they hear someone speaking Arabic and they're going to freak out. Which, actually, I don't blame them on that one.
Yeah. Well, there's certain, like, head wraps and stuff like that, certain outfits that people are like, oh, when I lived in New York, I lived right next door to a mosque.
I mean, New York is half mosques and half...
Yeah, it's literally...
Where do they go? Temple? Whatever.
Well, I think a lot of people, especially now in like today's social climate that we have, is that people want to attack comedians. It's like, we're not like purposely trying to hurt anybody. Or we're not intentionally trying to like punch down. Like, we're trying to bring awareness, a funny awareness, to a dark and really sad situation.
Exactly.
And like, sometimes we miss the mark, you know, but it's not intentional. Like, we're like, yeah, we're gonna, no. Like, we're literally just trying to make you laugh about horrible fucking shit because it's the only way to get fucking through it, baby.
Yep.
So yeah, people need to just calm down a little bit. We're not out here. We're just trying to get laughs, and sometimes it could be a little dark. And yeah, some of us do go too far, but that's comedy. And
exactly.
And that's just the one.
Too far is kind of a spectrum, I feel like.
Yeah. And it depends on the person, because sometimes a lot of people who are triggered by certain things, it's like, oh, well, then maybe you should work on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the world's responsibility to dodge this complete stranger who I didn't even know existed until you heckled me about being upset about something.
Yeah.
This was not directed towards you. Fix whatever's inside you, sweetie.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to do that, though. That's fucking terrifying. So being Middle Eastern, was your family very religious?
So my father, he's Assyrian, which Assyrians are Christians. Mm-hmm. So just for anyone listening. And he came here when he was like 18. So like, he's pretty much mostly American. He's kind of regressing now that he's getting older. I feel like both they just get old fashioned and whatever they were brought up in. But like, he's technically Assyrians are Christian Orthodox,
okay.
But he's just kind of like, oh, I believe in God and Jesus, and that's it. Like, you know, he doesn't go to church or anything.
Okay.
And then my mom, she's white. She's from Chicago, and she grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay.
So it was weird growing up, because it's like I'd hear to, like, it's funny because they're both non-denominational now, but they still argue all the time. And I'm like, you guys are both on the same boat of all, like, they both are like, all you need to do is believe in Jesus and the Bible and that's it. Church is fucked up. It's not real.
Not wrong.
And like, yeah, they're like, you know, and then but they still would like argue about like the little things like in the Bible. And like, I'd wake up in the morning and hear them argue. And then, oh, the funniest thing is, once a year, my parents get into this huge blowout fight about aliens. I swear to fucking God, I cannot make this shit up.
Every year?
once, at least once a year, that like I, when I was still living with them, I'd wake up and I just hear like, no, they're not real. My mom, and it's funny because my mom's the American, she's the one who doesn't believe in aliens.
Okay.
My dad, the Middle Eastern, is like, I mean, they might be. And then my mom's like, it would be in the Bible. And then he'd be like, I mean, maybe God forgot to put them in there. And she's like, God doesn't forget that. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? One time it went into werewolves too. And then that's when I was like, I need to get this house.
Oh, I mean, that's fun though. That sounds like a fun marriage where they can like argue about weird obscure shit.
The weirdest. And, but anyway, but yeah, so growing up was a little bit weird. I love both my parents so much though. They're like the only family I really like talk to. I'm like, I'm okay with my family, like extended, but like I'm not super close to either side. But yeah, it's just, you know, like growing up, yeah, they were like, my dad was a little bit more old fashioned and my mom was more of like a hippie. So yeah, then it was kind of cool because like when I was a teenager, we used to go to like concerts a lot and like we liked the kind of same music. Mm-hmm. Like she's like kind of a metalhead and like into like the psychedelic rock and stuff.
Okay.
So that's why I like, so going into like drugs when I was like, yeah, I think I was like 14 the first time I smoked weed. I was with my mom. We went to like some metal festival.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was wondering, like, your dad being Middle Eastern and like, obviously, I automatically assume Muslim, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Usually people do. Yeah. No.
Because I'm racist.
Well, growing up, whenever people found out that I was Middle Eastern, they'd be like, why don't you wear the thing on your head?
And people, like, it's a different religion, you moron. Yeah. So many religions over there, by the way, you guys.
That's why they're always at war.
Because they're not high enough.
Exactly.
They never get high off their own supply.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If only they're actually using the Afghan Kush, you know.
Right. It'd be so much more chill. So much more chill. So your parents weren't really that strict about the drug thing.
Well, my dad still to this day doesn't technically know that I smoke. I think he has an idea, but he just, something we don't talk about. But it's funny because his brothers own a weed farm in California. So, yeah, it's crazy. My dad's a good one. He's like from like, I think he's, yeah, he's got 5 brothers and 2 sisters. So huge family, very stereotypical Middle Eastern. And like, he's the good one. All of his brothers were like in the Latin Kings and like, okay, you know, like growing up because he was one of the older ones. So they all went to high school in America and then got into gangs and stuff, in and out of jail. I think my dad only went to jail like once, you know, like, which is good.
Yeah, dad. I'm like, my dad's rap sheet is an actual book.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's funny because even my cousin from that side was like, you know, your dad's the good one in the family. Like, and I'm like, yeah, compared to your dad, he's a because both, oh, because also, so Yokata, our last name, there's like some of the brothers have it spelled wrong on their papers. And then my dad has it spelled a different way. And like a couple of the other brothers have it spelled that way. And I told my cousin, oh, because he was like writing our names down or something. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's one N, not two. And he's like, what? That's wrong. And I'm like, no, you have the retarded Yokata. I'm the smart Yokata. You're the retarded Yokata because your dad's the retarded brother.
Just gonna add an extra in,
like, but anyway, I remember me and my mom, I was like 14 years old. It was like the summer in between 8th grade to high school.
Okay, that's a fun summer.
Yeah, it was. And we went to, oh, what, it was like one of those metal fest, I think it was like Mayhem Fest or something.
Okay.
Like,
oh, in Illinois. Yeah, because yeah, Milwaukee and Illinois, they did have a lot of the same festivals.
Yeah.
Or we would go to the ones, yeah.
Exactly. And then it was like, I think like Slipknot and Disturbed, like those like new metal bands, you know, and like during one of the, like, on the side stage, there was a guy just, like, passing a blunt around, and he passed it to my mom, and, like, my mom, like, you know, back in the day she smoked, but not, like, after she had me, but she, like, just kind of looked at it, and she was like, and she, like, took a hit, and then she, like, passed it to me, and I'm like, what? Are you sure? And she's like, just one.
Yeah.
And then, like, so I took, like, one hit, and I was like, oh, and then, like, then I became a drug addict. Thanks, Mom. No.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Kidding. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. But honestly, that's cool that your first time was with your mom, you know, because obviously safe structured environment.
Exactly.
You know, and she's like, well, you're going to do it anyway. So
like she always knew. Yeah. And then when I was in high school and started smoking, I remember I like brought it up to her once and she just started laughing because I thought she was going to yell at me. And she's just like, no, she's like, I'd rather you smoke than drink. And then
yeah,
I did drink a lot in high school. That's why I'm one of those kids.
The Midwest, it's impossible not to become an alcoholic by the time you're 50.
Right. I love these new memes of like millennials where it's like, why don't you go out now when you're in your 20s? And it's like me when I was 15, and it's just like somebody chugging a bottle. And
yeah, the number of keg stands. Yeah, I have done.
By the time I was 21, I was like, good man. Like,
well, badass. When I turned 21, like, obviously, I got drunk that night. I went to every bar I used to go to with my fake ID, and I showed him my new ID. And I'm like, I'm legal now. And they're like, he didn't need to say that. We knew.
Yeah.
We knew. But yeah, it was like around 22, 23 where I'm like, with alcohol.
It's funny. Yeah, because like the same thing. Like I would go to like the bars and like also had a fake ID when I was like 17 and stuff. And then it was like at first it was cool. But then after a while, I was like, dude, this is expensive. Cheaper to get fucked up at house parties. But now doing comedy, I'm back on the like bars and stuff. Because I'm also like, I don't want people in my house anymore. So I'm like, I used to be the party. Like,
yeah, my mom worked third shift a lot.
My mom was just the cool mom. Yeah. So she wouldn't care. It started as like innocent, like parties with like pop and pizza. Soda and pizza in Chicago.
I say soda pop and people are like, who are you? Bubbler. I use bubbler regular. I still say time machine. Sometimes you may not know
what's time machine.
Oh, yeah, no, that literally is just a Wisconsin thing. A time machine is a cash machine, an ATM. But in Wisconsin, TYME, you're something, I forgot what the acronym stands for, but yeah, we call them time machines. So the first couple of times I traveled, me be like, oh, I need to go find a time machine. People are be like,
yeah,
but like the look of confusion on people's faces, because it sounds like time machine. Like, oh, is she going forward or backward in time? How is that possible? No, I just need some cash.
Right. Well, we learn something new every day.
Yeah, there we go. But
today's word, time machine.
Time machine. I think they actually still have them in Milwaukee, too. I may be misspeaking if someone is who lives in the Midwest, Wisconsin specifically, if there are still time machines, please let me know. I would like to go back in the past.
Don't we all? Holy shit.
Every once in a while. So that's cool that your mom, like we had a drinking house. It was our friend Justin and Kelly and their parents, because they owned a big farm. So they let us have bonfires and they would take our car keys and shit, you know, and we'd be sprawled out in the basement or whatever, which is nice. There it is. Now, though, I think those parents would be thrown in jail.
Yeah. Be like, they're grooming the kids.
Yeah.
No, they're just cool parents.
Like
I said, they're going to do it anyway.
Let them be safe.
Yeah. Like, when I did get a little bit older and then I was hanging out with some of my ratchet friends and, you know, going to the South Side and like, if anyone doesn't know, South Side of Chicago, you don't usually want to go there, depending on the part. But yeah, and of course, we're going to the bad parts.
Obviously, 100% because we're teenagers.
Yeah, going to trap houses and like, speaking of which, it's crazy because I live in Logan Square now in Chicago, which for who doesn't know that used to be like not the greatest neighborhood in the world, but now it's like super gentrified. And it's funny to see all the trap houses I used to go to that are now condos that want like $1,500 for a fucking studio. And I'm
like, I used to do drugs.
Literally, I'm like, I bought coke here once. It's like, what the fuck? Like, crazy.
When I was a teenager, I was a big raver. So I was always in Chicago, you know, where house music was born. I was always going to raves. And I used to, one of the after hours was like Kitty Corner from Cabrini Green.
Okay.
So I used to buy drugs in Cabrini Green all the time, just like this white band and a raver. And we're talking 90s raver. So I'm wearing like fat pants, popping out of my skull. I'm like, meth, what's up? Who's got it? Very well protected, by the way, because I probably should have been shot. But someone told me that now it's like a Target or something like that. Area is completely different.
It's like, Yeah, there's so many condos over there. Because I, when I was growing up, it was there was no projects anymore there, but it was just all open space.
Yeah, that tore that down.
That now it's completely like pretty much built up on. And it's like there's like a huge like it's a huge building that's like Section 8 buildings, but it looks really nice. So if you like went past it, you wouldn't know it's Section 8. It just looks like really pretty condos. But then yeah, there's a Target there and like. Bunch of other stuff. Like I have cousins that live in that building.
Yeah, so it's just completely different.
it's super, super gentrified over there once. Like, oh my God. But yeah, it's but yeah, growing up, like I didn't really experiment with drugs too much when I was a teenager. I was more like just into weed and like drinking.
Did you grow up like in the city?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the city. So like I grew up in the northwest side of Chicago. So okay. It's called Portage Park is the area. Yeah. So it is a little bit outside of like the like hustle and bustle parts of the city. It's more residential, but it still is technically Chicago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up over there and then I went to high school in the city and stuff. And then yeah, I had some hard times like in high school and stuff. I dropped out when I was like 16, but just like was going through some shit, you know, mentally and stuff. And then it was kind of like back and forth on like drinking a lot when I was a kid. And then, so my mom would fight with me about that a lot, but then I didn't really like start doing like drugs until like, I think it was 18 when I first tried coke.
Okay.
And then
I was 18 too.
Okay. Yeah. They were responsible enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cause I went to high school in the suburbs. So most of the drugs that we could get were hallucinogenics, like acid.
Okay.
Acid or mushrooms. Acid was the first drug that I ever did.
Oh shit. Even older when I tried acid.
Oh,
glad because we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were saying about, so that was,
oh, my fans, they've already heard these stories a million times. So yes, please tell me about your first.
But, well, with the coke,
yeah.
I was 18. And then I remember we went to like, we used to hang out with this older woman and she took us to like her ex-boyfriend's house and she's like, oh, he's got a bunch of coke, blah, 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 give it to us. And we did like so much, like, and for our first times especially. And like, I just remember thinking like, oh my God, this shit is so good. I can never do it again or I'm going to get hooked. Like, so I didn't do it again for a while. And then I've gone through little like phases. Yeah, I would never say that I was like hooked on coke because whenever I like go through my phases, I'm like, okay, I gotta, yeah, like,
yeah, it's that guilt and shame where you're like, no, this is too good.
Yeah, yeah, it's too good. Yeah, and it's just like, also, I don't make enough money to be addicted to this.
It is a very expensive habit. I used to write one of my ex-boyfriends, who was also my dealer, just checks. I would write checks for cocaine.
Oh my God.
I call that white privilege.
Yeah.
Sure, that. It's the whitest of whitest privilege.
Well, that shows how expensive it is because you're dating him and you still had to pay for it.
I mean, I did a lot. And I realize now that the reason why I did an insane amount is because I have ADHD. So a lot of times it would take me more to actually get high because a lot of times I just feel normal.
Okay. I've heard that. That's the thing.
Like, if I run out of Adderall, I will buy cocaine because I need to do my laundry. Like, I need to, like, my apartment. Like, I'm so unfocused. And just a little bit. See, the first time I did it was with my ex, who was the drug dealer. But he was really cautious. He's like, okay, well, we'll do a bump here at this time, and then, you know, we'll do a little bit more. He was very responsible with it. But yeah, I didn't know I had ADHD, so a lot of times I would have to do extra,
yeah,
just to
feel it.
Yeah. And then I found meth and I was like, oh, this is cheaper, and it lasts way too long, to be honest. Because I did the first couple times I tried meth, I did it like how I would do cocaine. And then I would be up for like 3-4 days. Like,
oh, I can imagine. Yeah. I've only tried Adderall like a couple times and I just could not. It was too much for me.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine meth because Adderall is meth on meth.
Yeah. Yeah. A methy of all meth.
Yeah. Like diet meth.
Even for me, I have to like, I like fives and tens. I like a very little bit amount, like even 2.5s. So like, though, that's perfect for me to like write. But sometimes if it's too strong, I've had like these time release ones where I'm just like, there I'm wired and I'm a little high and I'm like, like I'm kind of focused, but I need to like, that's when I want to like clean the apartment or I'm driving. Like, I like the time release ones when I have to drive long distances, but I don't need a lot to get me to actually just function like a normal person.
Okay.
I'll get 30s and I'll cut them in quarters. Like this is what happens as you get older. You actually start using drugs for their medical purposes.
So literally, it's insane. So that's where like I was gonna say about how like the older I've gotten with using drugs, it's like, yeah, I'm not using it so much even like recreationally. It's more of like, I mean, even if I am, it's for another purpose. So that's why what I was gonna say about the psychedelics. So the first time I did acid, I think it was a 21 or 22. I think it was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that I started doing psychedelics when I was older instead of younger, because I probably would have just done it stupidly at a party when I was younger, and I probably would have had a bad trip and who knows what. But doing it when I got older and realizing, oh, this is not like a party drug. Like, I mean, obviously it can be.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. However, but it's like if you use it properly, it's like it's such like good medicinal purposes to it.
You do a lot. It brings in a lot of self-awareness.
Exactly.
And even the good and the bad. A lot of times I actually saw the perfect meme where it's like that dude riding a bike and then he sticks a stick in
the fire.
It'd be like taking psychedelics to get better or whatever, having a bad trip, blaming it on like not being self-aware or seeing your shitty behaviors and not wanting to change them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does. Yeah, I used it over this past year. I used a lot of hallucinogenics to help me like work out through, you know, years of trauma.
Yeah. So what I do now, I've been doing this the past like maybe like 5 or 6 years. My like little tradition is on New Year's Eve, I do acid.
Okay.
And I'll either do it by myself or with like just one close friend, you know, but it's like a mixture of like, let me reflect on the year and also just have a good time, you know, because I have to remind myself too. Sometimes when I do psychedelics, I get too in my head where it's like, I have to realize something.
I need this to be a good trip. Otherwise, I just do a drug.
And then, exactly. And then I have to remind myself, like, Tina, you could just have a good time. You could just laugh with your friend, you know, you stupid bitch.
This New Year's, it's like, yes, reflect, but also be in the present moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man, because then sometimes I'll be like, that wasn't a productive trip. And I'm like, no, it was, because you had a good fucking time. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah, not every trip is going to be mind altering. A lot of times for me, it would be the trips that I wasn't like planning on self-reflecting, like the ones that I was just having a good time and like, you know, we'd be sitting watching a movie or something and then all of a sudden in my head, you know, some behavior that I did, like, oh yeah, no, that I need to be honest with myself about that or whatever, and then be like, oh, okay, so
literally
continue to watch the movie, because like I said, I've been doing hallucinogenics since that was the first drug I ever did, and I did it in high school, like actually like passing classes.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So I have learned to be a normal person when I'm on.
Yeah.
people don't know that I am ripping balls. Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Unless I tell them. I do have the bad habit of telling people I'm on acid and then just walking away.
I mean, but then people, I think, understand why you just walked away.
Like, I'm on drugs and not handle this conversation. Good day, sir. And
just
float away.
Oh, man. So I, what was it? I did a little shroom chocolate thing after one of my shows, maybe like 2 months ago, because the opener, it was like right after Christmas. He's like, Merry Christmas, Tito. Here's the shroom chocolate. And I'm like, how strong is it? And he's just like, oh, it's like barely anything. It's like probably like 5 milligrams or something. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it like right when the headliner goes up, because I'm hosting the show. I don't want to trip, you know, just in case. Sometimes shrooms also for me, I just started doing shrooms very recently. I've been doing acid a lot longer than shrooms, because I was kind of scared for shrooms, honestly, because they're
Normally it's the other way. People are more afraid of acid than shrooms.
The reason is because acid, I know how much is in each tab, but shrooms, it's like kind of a guessing game.
Especially with those fucking microdose chocolates. It's like, that was not a microdose.
Yeah, it says, you know, 5 milligrams, but like of what kind of shroom?
Yeah,
you know?
That's also a big factor. Like I found out the hard way, you cannot microdose with penis envy.
Okay. I don't even know the strength.
Oh, well, I mean, it literally looks like penis.
Okay.
That's why it's called penis envy.
Okay.
But I tried to microdose and I only ate like part of a stem. and went to this Russian bathhouse and with my buddy. And all of a sudden, I am just, and I told him, I'm like, bro, that was not a microdose. He's like, you only did a little bit. I'm like, fucking penis envy.
It's so true, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So he gives it to me. I eat it like in the middle of the headliner set. After the headliner gets off, it like hit me like immediately too, because usually it's supposed to take longer.
Well, like 20 minutes.
Shrooms hit me almost immediately. Always.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And then like maybe it's my metabolism. But
yeah, it depends on like before you go out drinking, you need to have like a burger. You need something in your stomach.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm fat, but I should be a lot fatter before the amount I eat. So I must have a really fast metabolism.
Definitely. Because
I eat like I should be on 500 pound life or whatever. But
same. Well, for me, it's just like the anxiety of thinking I'm always going to be murdered, and cigarettes, like stress and cigarettes keep me thin. That's how I stay so skinny.
Great.
It's true, though. It's true, because whenever I actually, like, start feeling comfortable, like, that's when I gain weight. I'm like, oh, no, my nervous system is regulated.
Somebody stress me out.
Somebody stress me out right now.
Yeah, just 5 pounds.
Yeah. How am I going to stay skinny?
So, like, when the shrooms are hitting me then, and then after my show, they always do the open mic after. And so they're doing the open mic, and then it starts hitting me, and then I go outside to smoke with, like, some friends, and then of course, every fucking weird person that I never want to talk to was there that night, and they came up to me and talked to me, and I'm just like,
well, they get probably worse that energy because your energy shifted.
Yeah,
it's
like
vibe
glowing.
And, yeah,
and they're like, ooh, I want to suck this out of
me. Yeah, let me suck all that good energy.
Yeah. So like, all these weirdos are talking to me, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to say because I'm just kind of tripping, and I'm just also like in my own head, and I'm just kind of like, cool. And then it's like, I'd like not listen to what they're saying. And I'm just like, cool. I'm just walking away. And then I go and then I just watch the entire open mic, which I don't do that ever. Like,
I used to host an open mic for 7 years.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, no, it could be torture, but I'm also a little bit of a masochist. So.
Same too. Cause I was gonna say, when I first started doing comedy, I was such a comedy nerd that I loved comedy so much that I would watch open mics, even if I didn't go up, I would just watch it. Cause I just, even if they were terrible, I loved it.
It's all the process. It's all, yeah. Like, my favorite thing is seeing someone write out a joke and try it and bomb.
Yeah.
And see their face and reaction and then watch them work on it, you know, to where it actually is. Like, it's a beautiful process.
Exactly. And then, but now that, you know, I've been doing it for, well, I'm still pretty new, but I've been doing it for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, just that open mic, I don't run, but my co-producer of my show runs it. So I go there almost every week and whatever. So I'm just like sitting there watching the entire mic, but it wasn't even because I really wanted to watch it. I was just like, I can't talk to anybody right now. And I don't
disassociate.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I don't want to go home because I'm like, because my show is like, yeah, like Southside. And like, it's an expensive Uber. So I got to wait for my co-producer to be done so he can give me a ride. So I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, I'm just going to watch this open mic. And then, but it was fun because I was like tripping. So I was like, this is a lot more fun than when I'm just drunk and
want
to talk shit about everybody. So.
Which is one of the things I found out after I had left. I gave my mic to Sabrina Piper, and she said that one of the comics said that I like that you don't like chime in the way Aaliyah did. And then also, he's like, but also, could you give me feedback?
What do you want?
And she's just like, so that's exactly what she says. She's like, what do you want me to chime in? Like, sometimes I would, especially if I was drinking, I would warn her. I'd be like, I'm drinking. If your joke sucks, you will hear it from me.
Yeah.
You know, my mic was, it was called the most toxic mic.
Oh, well, yeah. So then, exactly. See, I love heckle mics.
Yeah.
There are some heckle mics, like there's one here in Austin, the Banana Phone, which is fun, don't get me wrong.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's not really like a productive heckle mic, it's more of just like, you do 1 minute and then people roast you.
Yeah.
Fine. That's fun, that's what it is. But I like, there's a couple heckle mics in Chicago, but you're not heckling the person so much, you're heckling their joke.
Yeah.
And I like that because it actually does help the person grow.
Yeah, be like, oh, okay, so it didn't work here, or you didn't understand this.
Or even if somebody does shout something out, it helps you with being on your toes. Because it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how good of a comedian you are.
Yeah, people get heckled. Yeah.
Or just drunk, stupid bitches in the crowd are going to shout out, and it's a good...
Are your tits real? I've only had women in the audience do that, heckle me with that. It's only been women. Yay, Women's History Month. It is still March right now. I don't know when this episode will be released. But yeah, most of the people who have heckled me have all been women. Wow. Isn't that, yeah.
It just shows how horrible we are.
Dude, I have said that if women got along better, we would run everything.
Literally. I think that's what... That's why we don't. It's because, like, yeah, that's our Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if God is real, I think he did that on purpose because he knows that we would actually...
We would be way too powerful.
Way too powerful. So it's like,
everything would be perfect. We would have flying cars if women were in charge.
Exactly.
If we didn't, I think it's like a biological thing, you know, like we must find the best mate or you know, a lot of insecurities. So many women, especially now, again, with the social fucking structure that we have, women hate themselves so much. Like, people are so uncomfortable with themselves. So they see another woman, you know, who has confidence. They're like, no, you can't have that. That's what I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When instead you just work on yourself, sweetheart. Oh, I'm so sick of the whole, like, just little catty... Just little comments, and it's just like
nagging. Women nag each other more than men do.
I know, and I'm just like, and I'm not like that because
I either fuck with you or I don't.
Yeah,
you will know. You
literally, I'm like, if you don't like me, just fucking tell me, like, and I'll leave you alone
because I don't need frenemies, yo.
No,
I don't want this kind of energy. Like, I don't need that shit.
And it's like, and it sucks too because I'll never be the pick me woman because I fucking hate men too.
Be like, you can have, I mean, I'm learning that now because, well, you know, finding out with the late diagnosis, ADHD. So I found out that some of the things that give me dopamine, like fighting. And I'm like, oh, that's why, like, because I haven't gotten in a Twitter fight in quite some time. Got in one a couple of weeks ago. The high I got, because the next day I literally felt depressed. Because that is how much dopamine flooded my brain from this stupid little Twitter interaction. And then the other thing is that I get addicted to people.
Uh-huh.
So, like, relationships and stuff.
Do I have ADHD? I'm starting to relate to a lot of that.
Do go get tested. You'd be surprised. Especially women. Women, you know, they... it's like you're depressed and have anxiety and blah. And so I just assumed, and I have a degree in fucking psychology.
Yeah.
Okay. So finding out, and I found out on TikTok, watching TikTok videos, and I was like, wait, at first I just thought some videos were funny. And I'm like, oh, that's, I do that. And then I'm like, oh no, wait, I do all of that. I do all. So like, I'm literally relearning who I am, like as an actual person without masking. At 45.
That's so funny. It's funny because, like, for me, I always thought I had bipolar growing
up. A lot of, yes.
I have, like, manic and depressive episodes. But, like, now that you're talking about this, I'm like, I wonder if it really was mania or if it is, like, ADHD, you know? So that is interesting.
Yeah, no, because you see and you start seeing, like little things. And over the pandemic, I was actually thinking about writing, like, a blog about it. Because it was over the pandemic, you know, because we weren't around people. And my therapist basically broke it down. He's like, listen, he's like, because at that time I was, when was the pandemic? I'm 45 now. So I was, like, 43, 44, something like that. I had been masking for over 40 years, you know, dealing, like, not dealing with trauma and, you know, lacking a lot of self-awareness and stuff like that. But because of the pandemic, like, I'm not being around people. So, like, I stopped masking and like, my life just kind of fell apart. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
The things I found out. And even, like, I'm also... like borderline autistic, like I jump rope that line. So I noticed that if I like food, I do like a little happy dance, you know, like all of these weird little things. And I'm like, yo, I literally have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And that's over the pandemic. I did an extensive amount of hallucinogenics, DMT. Yeah. So a lot of it, my therapist is also like, okay, just because you know this doesn't mean you can heal yourself in a month, Aaliyah. 40-some years of trauma, bitch. Like, it's going to take you quite some time. But the hallucinogenic, like the microdosing, really did help out tremendously.
It's insane. Like I was saying, like how just like so much shit I've realized through psychedelics and like, you know, just past traumas that I didn't even remember or
didn't even think it was a trauma.
Yeah.
I intellectualize all my feelings. Uh-huh. Like, oh, yeah, no, I should have been terrified for that. But I'm laughing at like, oh, I never felt the fear from that. I need to feel the fear.
Or even just like, you know, situations I was in, like relationships with like friends and stuff and like realizing like they were never my fucking friend, you know. Mm-hmm. Or for me, my biggest thing is I still need to work on is I cannot handle death. Like that's something I'm still trying to work on. It's like so hard for me not to get dark. But, I know when, 2 years ago? Yeah. My best friend's mother passed and it was out of nowhere. It was really rough. And she wasn't even that old. I think she was like 50 or something, you know? So it was like, whoa. And then I couldn't really grieve because I wanted to be there for my friend, you know, because, you know, it's her mom. So in my head, I'm like, I can't be upset because this is her mom. It's not my mom. It's also, I'm not only upset because I grew up with the mom mm-hmm. always around, but, you know, I'm upset for my friend. And there was one time I did shrooms and then I actually watched that show that Duncan Trussell does, The Midnight Gospel. There was like the last episode is the one where it's like the recording of like him talking to his mother right before she passes. Okay. And oh my God, I wasn't on shrooms, I was on acid. And I never cried so hard in my fucking life. It was like
every really just came.
Ounce of fucking liquid in my body just came out of me. And I was just like, oh, but I needed it. And then I was crying like tears of love. Like, and that's how I felt because I was on acid. And I'm like, these are tears of love.
Yeah.
Like, they're such a fucking hippie, you know? Just like, and then even the next day when I was still in my little twinkle, that's what I love about acid. Because mm-hmm. it's like, the next day I still kind of feel it.
Yeah.
You know, just that little twinkle. And I was still like thinking about it and like just tearing up. And I'm just like, love is so beautiful.
Right? Yeah.
But it's so true, you know, and it's just like, and it helped me, you know, grieve that loss because I had to kind of grieve in private, you know, because every time I saw my friend and she talked about it, I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to be upset because I don't want
you wanted to be there.
The strong one. Yeah. Yeah. Because if she has to comfort me, then what the fuck am I there for?
Yeah. What kind of friend am I?
Yeah. If people were doing that to her where they were like, and she's the kind where she doesn't ever cry. She's a stereotypical like Scorpio. So she's like, not to get into them.
We cry.
But
I cry.
But
sometimes,
yeah. But when, but when you guys cry, you
fall. Oh, I ugly cry. Like if you, but now I've actually like I've gotten better at feeling my feelings.
Yeah,
and there'll be random times like I'll look at a picture of my dog and it'll be like a tear, and like normally I try to stop it, be like, no, feel the feelings, Aaliyah, feel the feelings, Aaliyah, and and I'm like, oh, I do feel so much better.
Yeah,
after I feel the fucking feelings. Feel your fucking, like, you can't run away from them. They are stored in your body and they will, bleh, you need to feel your feelings.
It's funny because I think it's also the masculine and feminine energy too, because like my best friend's more like, she's definitely more masculine energy, Scorpio, so she's like, she is very emotional, but she doesn't really like necessarily show it.
You can't show weakness at any time.
Exactly. Exactly. But she tries not to show, but she shows. Like, she can't, she can't hide her face, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, Botox has helped me hide my face. And amen for that, because my face is so loud. I have the loudest face, especially because I have big eyes and very judgmental. It's just because I'm blind, you guys. I have horrible eyesight. I'm not necessarily judging. I'm also...
Yeah,
that's
kind of hard.
Because so many people, and I'm just like, oh, but then what did they say? A judgment is just a projection of confession.
Yeah.
Kind of. And so like there's certain people I judge. I'm like, wait, have I also done this? Like now I stop and think about that. And sometimes I'll overthink about that. So working on yourself, it fucking sucks. It's uncomfortable. Oh my God. Yeah. You want to crawl out of your own skin, because being honest with yourself and your shitty behaviors and like being like, oh yeah, no, I've done that exact same thing. I was just yelling at that person for it. I'm a better person. I am not a better person. I am just a person, and
yeah,
we all literally do the exact same fucking things. We project the same shit. And once we come to realize that, life does become a lot easier. Life is so much more chill for me now. I get it, someone like got loud with me and I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm just going to remove myself from your life now because I do not need to be disrespected that way. And yeah, then I took a step back and I'm like,
like, did I grow up?
What I wanted to do was knock the bitch out.
Yeah.
Be like, you know I can fucking knock. And then I'm like, wait, no, I am zen now. I jump rope that line. I'm still getting better. You know, it's work.
It's yeah,
every day.
The projection is so true, though, because, like, so I remember somebody told me that once because I was talking shit about somebody. And they were like, and she just straight up said to me, like, you know, like, a lot of times when people talk shit about other people, it's because they're projecting. And I was like, fuck you, but also you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, fuck you and your factual statement.
And yes, and because everything I just said about this person are the things I hate about myself, goddammit. But I try to work on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's where I get irritated. See, my thing is, I've always been that kind of person where I try not to play Pain Olympics. However, if I've been working on myself for so long and I see somebody out here fucking being crazy and I'm just like, what are you doing? If I have to put in the work, you do too.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Be like, why the fuck are you working on yourself?
Yes.
God damn it. Exactly. Be like, nobody else is, so why do I have to?
Yeah.
But like, your brains, they get very comfortable even in these situations. Be like, no, this is our happy place. And then it gives you the dopamine kicks. Yeah. So I think also like learning how your brain actually works and why your subconscious and conscious do those things, it's easier to just tell yourself to observe that thought and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, intrusive. Now for me, the intrusive one was
so bad.
Like at the grocery store. One day there's this kid that wouldn't shut up. And I'm like, you could just punch him. And I'm like, that is an intrusive.
Yeah. My thing is kicking. What? I always want to kick dogs. And I love dogs. I love dogs more than
people. Oh, no, where you're just walking, and you're like, kick a dog.
I just want, like, it's in my head. It's just like, kick the dog. Like, it's like an evil voice. It's like, kick him. And I'm just like, no! Like,
why do you want to kick a dog?
I don't. Yeah. And I'm so sad.
I don't want to punch babies either.
Yeah.
That's not something I want to do.
Anything with stroll, it's always a stroller, too. I'm going to kick the stroller.
I know. I've pushed moms before, 100%. In New York, fuck those bitches, because they'll be like, well, two of them, and they be walking slow as fuck. It's like, yo, you live here, you know better.
Yeah,
you walk in this way. So I'll do a little arm check. I've done a couple arm checks on some moms with some strollers and just be like, oh, so sorry. Condescending. So condescending.
Oh, so East Coast, I love it.
Yo, I've lived all over, you know. Well, one of the reasons why I moved to Texas, and people automatically think I'm insane, is because by moving back to Texas, I have created a star on the map of the United States. I used to live in Texas when I was a kid. I grew up in Garland for like 3 more years. So then, you know, we moved back to Wisconsin, and then I moved to Florida, and then California, then New York. Because I was looking for it, like, I needed a change, and I knew I needed to get out of the city for a while, even though I probably could. Still a star, though. Still a straight, still the same line. And I was thinking about New Orleans. For some reason, I'm like, I went down south. I was just feeling the down south vibes. New Orleans, and because I was watching a lot of True Blood and Vampire Diaries, which don't move to a city because of a show. I mean, also don't move to a city because you can make a star on the map. But anyway.
Well, now we're the autism part's starting to make sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
Patterns, you know, patterns.
I'm like, dude, I can make a star on the map if I move back to Texas. So that is why I moved back to Texas, because I'm autistic and I made a star on the map.
That's great, though. I'm happy for you on that. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So now, or a pentagram. I don't know. It'll fucking piss me off.
Help right.
Me start. I could start the apocalypse. Fuck knows.
You just have like your own little like fire ritual somewhere in the middle. Where would that be? Like Indiana or Kentucky? Like
or the Virginias? Maybe. Or,
yeah, right. Somewhere, yeah.
Kentucky, Tennessee. Maybe.
Double sacrifice and. Just take down all of the...
yeah, I'm like, Trump is going to win. World War III is going to start. We need to rebuild the government. Women need to be able to control. Happy Women's History Month.
Yeah. And happy No More Pornhub Day.
Is there a day that...
Or, no, I'm kidding. But like, no, it's... Did you hear that they banned Pornhub in Texas like a couple days ago? Oh, I'm surprised you didn't know.
No,
okay.
No. Oh. Honestly, that's kind of awesome for me because I have come to realize I'm like the third most famous person in this city just by the amount of people who have recognized me. Because in New York, I forgot this TikTok video, but there's this dude who's like, everyone's famous in New York. No one gives a fuck if you're famous.
Yeah.
You're not fucking famous in some way. Here, because there's only 800,000 people compared to 11 million, everyone knows who the fuck. Delivery drivers. That's why I don't have a lot of shit delivered anymore. Because they oh my God, no, it's so creepy.
Oh God, I can only imagine the things people say to you. Oh my
well,
God.
Well, a lot of times it's just like, oh, hey, it's like, oh, I know who you are. And I'm like,
yeah, it's one thing. It's like it's flattering to get like recognized from comedy because I've gotten recognized.
Yeah, there have been
Tony,
how many times it's happened before.
But like getting, but if someone's like, I'm a big fan. When it comes to porn, it's like, okay, thanks.
I tell people, I'm like, do you normally just come up to strangers and tell them that you play with your dick?
Yeah,
that's all men are doing. And honestly, like, I've been retired for 11 years now. Mm-hmm. If you are still recognizing me from porn, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
They just got, they got their favorites saved.
Yeah, but it's not, I'm just, because I'm friends with Lisa Ann. Lisa Ann, she at one point probably still is one of the world's most famous porn stars.
Okay.
Of course people are going to recognize her, you know, even though she's retired. Me, no, I have done some weird, obscure porn. Like, for the fact you know who I am tells me a lot about you as a person. Unless it's, like, some kid. Because I have a joke about, like, all the people who are finding me now are between the ages of, like, 8 and 17.
Oh,
statistically speaking. So
you're unconsciously grooming children.
Well, I can't even invite them to a comedy show, you know?
Yeah.
But that's crazy. So just Pornhub or like all?
It's just Pornhub, apparently, because a bunch of people were like making jokes about it. Because that's how I heard about it from like other comics here. And then, but then other people are like, you know, like you can just use like X Hamster or like Red.
There are hundreds of others.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even that popular on Pornhub. Oh, I think I'm still ranked like one of like the top like 1,000 porn stars in the world, which
nice.
Is insane. Titties, yo, they're infamous. but X videos, I have over like 100 million views. That is so funny. I wonder.
Yeah, it's something to do with, like, I don't think it's, like, completely banned. I saw something, because everyone's saying it's banned, but of course everyone, you know, exaggerates. I think it's, like, you have to, like, verify your identity to go onto.
What a fucking concept!
Like, it's so, like...
Even porn stars have been trying, specifically with Pornhub. I know we're totally going to go on a different rant right now, but I've talked about this before, because Pornhub, like, the reason why the porn industry lost billions of dollars was because of these tube sites, you know, and then now it's like Stockholm syndrome where it's like, oh, we almost have to work for them. But all we ever wanted was just the people posting the stolen content to just have them be verified.
Yeah.
You know, like make them show an ID that they and the paperwork that they own this.
Yeah.
This scene or whatever to post. And now they have to because of like the credit card thing.
Yeah.
But I took over my Pornhub page and they did not like that because porn stars can take over their page. So I have control over it now. And I made them get rid of thousands of videos.
Oh, good for you.
The only videos that are up there now are like ads for scenes that I was in from companies that I like that owned the rights to use it.
Yeah.
And now I just post comedies.
Nice.
They are not happy. None of them are amused in any way, shape, or form, girl.
Hey, it's yours. So.
Oh, God. But when Pornhub did that, they also took away all those views, like millions of views, and a lot of followers. They took all that away. But then like 2 weeks later, they had to get rid of all the spam videos anyway, and they left everyone else's like views up.
Oh, wow.
I was like, you can hate me, Pornhub. I just pissed off a $1 billion company. I think I won today. Thank you.
Yeah. That's
those views. I don't
And that's
a
dopamine rush you got for like months, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I do have to be careful. There's certain like guys will say, I mean, I've always been snarky with my fans. I use that term. I'm a cunt a lot of times. But a lot of my other fans, like, they like that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I tried doing the fandom stuff a long time ago, and it's harder because like you just have to like talk to them more, like
which I'm not saying
terrible. Videos like, you know, doing actual like porn I'm not saying it's not hard, but at least like once you have that up you can get the money. But it's like it's like because you're not naked you have to just continuously talk to them, and then sometimes they waste your time and they don't pay you and they're just trying to get it for free, and it's like so now what I'm thinking about doing, because I want to get back into that because I need like some like passive income, you know, I'm thinking about doing OnlyFans, but literally doing it for, like, fandoming, you know? Because I already have, like, a little bit of a fan base from being on Kill Tony and stuff, and a lot of those guys are fucking simps.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I already get guys in my DMs all the time asking for feet pics, and I'm never sure if they're trolling or not. So, like...
Oh, okay. I can help you out with stuff like that. Like,
okay, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
Like, there was one I actually responded to, and if he fucking hears this podcast, he's probably going to get his... card from me talking about it, but
oh,
like,
that's gonna be $20 that you're gonna need to Venmo her, motherfucker.
Exactly. But he was like, can you send me your feet pics, I love you. And I'm just like, are you trolling me or is this for real? And he's like, I swear to God, this is for real.
When they message you that, you just send them your Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then if they keep asking questions, be like, if you want me to respond, this is how much it is.
You're right.
$20 to even talk to you.
Exactly. Because that's what I was trying to do with the fin.
Yeah, well, because you need to be a dom. And a lot of those guys, they like pushing the boundaries, but because they need to be told what to do.
Yeah.
So you can't be a pushover. And then, there'll be times I'll just be like, fan, send me some money. I'm sad. And then someone will send me like $30.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. See, yeah.
I even when I was in porn, like I think I had a wish list for like 5 minutes and I'm like, this feels weird. I'm like, I kind of like it better when you guys just give me money.
Yeah. I made a wish list on Amazon, but I literally just put Hopper gift cards on it. So I'm like, buy me my flights.
I could definitely help you out with that. And OnlyFans too, because you could do other stuff.
Yeah.
Like I have Instagram subscribers and I like do cooking shit. Now I've been doing some cooking stuff. I want to do like an ADHD, like cooking with ADHD, because I'm trying to have.
That would be hilarious.
Because I'm trying to have a better relationship with food as well, especially having ADHD and like the forgetting to eat and the binge eating and meal preps and stuff like that. And
and you can make it so funny too.
Well, one time I just had the camera going and like I drop something on the ground and I have two things in my hand. So of course I don't put something down. I like go and try to pick, and then I'm like, wait, let me put this down and do that. And
then you start reading a book and then
you go
to the bathroom and then you watch.
Yeah, there's people looking and then I'm also doing laundry and I'm like, here, this is how I put my duvet cover on. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm still cooking. And so I think that will be kind of fun. I do need to, I have to do some voiceover shit and edit some stuff, but I may post some of that stuff on YouTube. I don't know. Oh my God. So this has been so fun.
I love, you know what, I'm like I said, I think we are, I think you're enlightening me that I might have ADHD because I feel like I went on several tangents that had nothing to do with drugs.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the good thing about this show is that they're used to, I mean, a lot of times people will hear me repeat stories, you know, or like I'll remember a part or I'll forget a part or be like,
yeah,
say that last time and be like, bitch, half the time I'm glad I could just remember stuff. Okay.
Yeah, like, same, honestly. So, well, this like did a lot for me with the enlightenment. So
good. That. Yeah, no, definitely go get tested. You know, go see it there. I mean, there's so many like online tests too.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And also just watch some TikTok videos and be like, I do all of this stuff. Because you can self-diagnose and then go get actually diagnosed. But because it definitely helps with depression. Like I have not been actually depressed since I found out I've had ADHD. I'm like, because now I know why because there's a lot of guilt and shame for not being perfect and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where can people find you online?
So I mostly use Instagram. So it's tina.yokana or at tina.yokana. Yokana is YOUKHANA. You can also look up my website, tiniyokanacomedy.com. I should start posting on YouTube more. I think I'm going to. So
yeah,
look up my name on YouTube. I'll eventually start posting. But mostly Instagram and like the website, I would say. And then that's where you can also contact me if you need to contact me.
If you want to give her some money, you little bitches.
Yeah, my Venmo is at Christina Yokana. So, Venmo me money. Message me on Instagram. I will send you feet pics if you give me money. Maybe I'll start an OnlyFans soon. Let's see.
Just feet pic.
Exactly.
You could do that.
Hey, I got size 11 clompers. Like,
nice. Yeah. Depending on the shoe, I'm like a 9.5 to a 10. But there's been some brands where it's like an 11. And I'm like, all my toes move. No, the way they're supposed to. You can find this wonderful podcast on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't give a fuck. I don't respect Elon at all. He's the second famous person here in Austin, by the way. It's Rogan, Elon, and then
he is here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. I thought he lived like on the moon or something. I didn't know he lived on Earth.
Not in his mind. Not on this dimension. Twitter and Instagram, How to Do Drugs Pod. Obviously, Apple, Spotify, all the places you find podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. That would be Audible, all of the places. I used to have this list. This is only the second episode. Well, technically, third and a half that I recorded in months. I used to have this memorized down, and now I'm like, you find my podcast where podcasts are found.
Yeah.
And you should know because you're fucking listening to this. But please rate and subscribe. You can find me, the Aaliyah Janine, on Twitter. Aaliyah.Janine on Instagram. Aaliyah Janine on Facebook. And my website, AaliyahJanine.com. Okay, bye.